There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. The blazing Yule before us. Strike the harp and join the chorus. Follow me in merry measure while I tell of Yuletide treasure.
Thank you. Christmas. Oh, it does my heart so good just to look out and see all of you here. Welcome to our special Christmas Eve service tonight. And for all of you that are worshiping online, I see you too. I see you with my heart, so I welcome as well. Tonight, we are going to be celebrating the birth of the newborn king. Can I hear a woohoo? Can I hear a Merry Christmas? Yeah. Well, tonight we are going to be singing and praising and praying and all sorts of things. And we're going to be setting fires, but good fires. So I hope that you received a candle when you came in tonight, because we are going to end our service with the singing of Silent Night. And we'll light candles then. For those of you at home, make sure you gather candles. And we are also celebrating Holy Communion this evening. And so for those of you at home, make sure you grab some bread and juice as well. Friends, let's get this party started. Let's open our hearts to some beautiful music. For the last month, we've been celebrating a season called Advent, which is a time for preparing for Christmas. That's how I think about it anyway. And so we've lit the candles of hope and peace and joy and love. And tonight we light the Christ candle. So we have some words that go along with that, and those words will be on the screen. So I ask that you would join me, and your words will be people. So night is here.
Shepherds lie awake.
Angels appear.
Shepherds begin to quake.
Good news is proclaimed.
This is no mistake.
Tonight, the Christ is born.
Shepherds, praise we now make.
Now this evening, I'm going to invite the Wilson family to come forward because we are going to joyfully light the Christ candle. And we remember that the night when God's love came down at the Savior's birth, God is with us and loves us. Amen. Thank you, Wilsons. And now I want to invite us all to pray this prayer that will be on your screen. Holy God,
we come before you this night to proclaim a steadfast love,
an undying care, a risk-taking grace.
As shepherds watch their fields, you guard justice, you protect peace, you keep your eyes on your beloved.
May our worship be as such, a holy watching, a patient waiting, a faithful presence. Amen. Amen.
And now if you'll stand with me, we'll sing together the hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's in the hymnal, number 234. If you're going to use the hymnal, we're going to be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Everybody just using the screens, the words will be right up there. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, come.
Please be seated. I'd like to draw your attention over to the Steinway Piano for our special music where we're going to feature Leah Lake and Isaac Lake playing The Little Drummer Boy and Jingle Bells.
And now Isaac Lake will read some scripture for us. I have it for you, my friend. I will join you. You know this well.
I'm going to be reading, my name's Isaac Lake, and I'm going to be reading Isaiah 9, 2 through 6 and 7 in the Common English Bible. The people walking in the darkness have been seeing a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And now let's sing together again. It's hymn number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Would you please stand?
Unless you really want to stand, and then you can. There you go. Hey, Merry Christmas! I just got to say that a few times tonight, and I hope that you all do too. This is such a great night, and it is a good night to celebrate, isn't it? Woohoo! Well, I just want to say I know that you've taken time out of your busy festivities this evening. I'm thankful that you have made this part of your celebration of Christmas Eve in the midst of all the other things that you're doing with family and friends, that you're doing around home. And let me just be somebody early in this evening just to say, welcome home. That It's not something you usually hear around this time from the pastor here. Some of you are going, I have not stepped in this church at all before. But I do want to welcome you home. See, here's the thing that I've learned about this season. When we are keeping with the reason for the season, when we wish somebody a Merry Christmas, what we are wishing is that they have all the peace and joy and hope and love in their heart, especially unconditional love. And there is one place where all that exists, where all that happens. And it's even more than a place, it's a relationship. And that's real home. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get in the message tonight, because the one thing I know is that when you say Merry Christmas, what you're really telling people is, welcome home. Now tonight, some of you are going to leave here and you're going to go and have food. You're going to have drink. You're going to sing Christmas carols even more than you're singing tonight. You're going to maybe play on musical instruments. We did that in my family. You're going to read the night before Christmas. How many people are going to read the night before Christmas tonight? Okay, a few. That may be getting out. You might be watching the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I mean, you've got something, right? There are those home traditions, those family traditions. Well, we have those type of traditions here at our church, too. And one of those is we share the Christmas story with our kids. So, I happen to have that handy. So, I'd like to invite our children, whatever age, to come on up and join me up here as we share the Christmas story. And for all you children who are, I don't know, over the age of 18, I'm bypassing protocol and I'm triple dog daring you to come up. Okay, guys, are you ready for the story? Are all of you ready for the story? All right, guys, here we go. A long time ago, Caesar Augustus, he was the Roman emperor, he ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire, the Roman Empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was the governor. Say that with me. Quirinius. That's kind of a wild name, right? No one out there is going to name your kid Quirinius, right? Okay. Well, Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to their own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Now, there were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. That's pretty close, isn't it, if it's in the neighborhood? They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Well, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that's meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for." You guys know what they're to look for? A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir who were singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. So they left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing is believing. They told everyone they met what the angel had said about this child, and all who heard the shepherds were impressed. Now Mary, Mother Mary, She kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The shepherds returned and they let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen, because it turned out exactly as they had been told. Isn't that a cool story? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, you know what? We have a nativity over here, and there's Mary and Joseph. And you know, I see some shepherds too. And there's those three wise guys too that come into the story a little bit later. That's right, wise men. And then there are some animals. But I don't see any baby Jesus. You have to find baby Jesus. Are you guys up for it? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh. You guys wanna go look for baby Jesus? He's around here somewhere. Now don't look behind me, because that's where communion is. And it's kind of hiding back there itself. But you can look all around to see if you can find baby Jesus. And I'm keeping a time, so you can go. You need to go, guys. Let's go. Let's go find. See if you can find baby Jesus. Okay, that sounds good. Sure. Okay, you guys are getting kind of cold. Getting colder too. Oh, you're getting really cold. Isaac was, he's like in Arctic. Okay, now you're heading the right way, kind of. Keep going. Feeling a little bit warm. Getting colder. Where could it be? Maybe it's under something. Yeah. Check it out, Jake. Oh, what did you find? There's a baby in the baptistry. That's right. Yay. Well, hey, you want to put the baby, Jake, you want to put the baby back? Now that's some celebrating. Yeah, look, isn't that cool? I did. Leah hid the first one, and then I hit it on her twice. So she found it last time we had this service. Jake, you want to put baby Jesus kind of by Joseph and Mary over there? Yay! You did good. Okay, you guys can go sit down. You did great. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand, everybody. What's that? There you go. This is one cool family in here. And this is home. It's one home out of many. One thing that we're all searching for in this season is real home. At home where you experience great peace, you encounter joy, you have hope, and you experience great love, transforming love. It's what we're all looking for. Now, some of us are fortunate. We have a network of family and friends that allow us to come close to living that true, real home. You know, every time we get together for family or Christmas Eve, we're feeling it. And you know, some of us, well, we struggle a little bit. Because we remember home, but life has changed over the course of a year or several years. And we're experiencing that almost cliche that you've heard and maybe not have believed, but then you come to believe it, and it's like you can never really come home again, right? And then there are some of us, friends, that, you know, we've struggled all our lives with finding a place where we found real love and acceptance and joy and peace and hope. But that's something that even if we are fortunate to know all of that, we're still yearning for it. We're still yearning for that place called home. Isn't it interesting that in the Christmas story, as Luke shares it, all the people in that story are far from home? Think about it. Joseph and Mary just started to make a home in Nazareth. Now they traveled 90 miles south. I found that interesting. They're saying they're going up. I guess it's backwards directions in biblical Bibles. I don't know. But they traveled 90 miles south from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, you're sitting there thinking, well, 90 miles isn't that bad. But you got to walk it. And, you know, according to my app, that's 33 hours. 33 hours of walking. Now, you know, we've seen the movies. We've seen, some of us have seen The Chosen. Mary's on that donkey, right? Joseph. But we don't know that. Bible doesn't really tell us how they got there, except they probably walked. And that's a long time for a pregnant woman to go, isn't it? But they made it. They made it to Bethlehem. How cool is that? But even though Joseph is from Bethlehem, his people are from Bethlehem, there is absolutely no one there to give him a place to stay. Have you ever thought about that? That's his hometown. But there's no one there to give him a place to stay. And there's no inn that's going to let him in. So the next best thing is a stable, which is a cave. And so for that very first Christmas, Joseph and Mary and the Lord who is about to come are homeless. Now somewhere close by are shepherds. And some of those shepherds probably had homes. They probably had families that they would go back to on occasion. But most of the time, they were nomads. They were wandering all about from pasture to pasture. And a shepherd's work is never done. Every day the same. You get up, you eat, you drink, you herd sheep. You eat and drink some more, you herd sheep. You eat and drink, then you put the sheep down for bed. And then you try to catch some sleep when you're not on watch. And then the next day it starts all over again. And maybe, just maybe, there's a creek nearby where you can take a bath so that, you know, people aren't going to smell you when you come by. For all effective purposes, these nomadic shepherds were also homeless vocationally that night. But it's to those homeless shepherds that God spoke. Amen. It's those homeless shepherds that all of a sudden there's this great light that appears in the sky. These days we would say they experienced a UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomena. Except the phenomena identified itself relatively quickly as God's messenger. And then those shepherds had this wonderful news that they had to absorb into their hearts, that there is a baby born, a savior, someone who is going to save them, someone who is for them, has come into this world. And this messenger doesn't just tell them where the baby is, but also what to look for. Bethlehem, David's town. Baby wrapped up in a feeding trough. And so they've got to go. They've got to go. And, you know, I have to tell you, this year in reading the story, I'm thinking they had to take the sheep with them. Who are they going to leave them with, right? So now, in my mind, when I hear this story, I put myself back where Mary and Joseph are, and Mary is exhausted because she just gave birth to a little baby. And she's trying to get some rest on this floor of a cool cave. And Joseph is there too, and he's exhausted. Not as exhausted as Mary, but maybe he's trying to keep watch. Or maybe they're both just so dazed and confused at that time, and all they're doing is they're looking down at that beautiful little human boy who is so much more. And it's all they can do just to see this Jesus who has come into the world. And then all of a sudden, there's all this noise. There are people running. There are bobs of torchlight coming toward him and bleats of sheep coming their way. And then when the shepherds get there, they just stop. And they're looking at this little human who's so much more in that manger too. And for them, they can't believe it, but they have to believe it. They see it. God's word is very true. And so they become the first evangelists, and they go out and say, the Savior has come. And then Mary, wondrous Mary. Boy, I'd like to take a time machine and go back and meet her. She goes and witnesses that, and she just lets it sit on her heart. But I believe that something else happened then too. I believe that what Mary encountered that night is true home. Because what she encountered was, whenever God is there, that's where true home happens. And that's what happened that night. This little baby, who we learn from an angel in a dream, is called Emmanuel, God with us. This little baby brought together a poor man and a young woman that would be married soon, and shepherds, and all these poor homeless people together were able to witness true home in baby Jesus. That's what we all yearn for. We all yearn for that home too, but it can be so difficult, can it? Even in the best of circumstances, the decisions we make, the actions that we take, or the decisions that other people make and the actions they take, all these things interweave, and we find ourselves very far from home. We find ourselves frustrated and lost and discouraged. And we do the very best we can, and we take little joys in life, but we're always seeking something more. We're always seeking home. Have you ever noticed that every single Christmas movie out there, well, maybe not the night before, but every single Christmas movie out there is really about people coming home to love, to relationships, loving relationships, places where hope and peace and joy are also found. That's what this Christmas story is all about. Now, there's this miracle and this mystery that happens that we take in, and we sing our carols, but we really don't always think about it. But there's this thing called an incarnation, which is a technical term which means that God put on flesh. And we think about that, and they say, well, that's cool, but it's so much more. One of my favorite carols is one by came out in the 90s from Chris Rice. You might have heard, I think he did What If Cartoons Got Saved, that old song. You haven't heard until you've heard, you know, Scooby-Doo say that. But he wrote this wonderful song called Welcome to Our World. And he talks about that mystery. And you guys can Google the lyrics to this, but I wanted to share the final lyrics here that encounter the mystery. He says, so wrap our injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sins and make us holy. Perfect Son of God. Perfect Son of God. Welcome to our world. That's awesome. But don't you see? There's a reason that God did that. And that reason is this: we have a God with such an amazing love that this God would condescend, would come from different reality beyond all that we know and put on flesh so that we could be home with God now. First chapter of John said that God put on flesh and came into the neighborhood, moved into the neighborhood, that tabernacled with us, made home with us now. And that is the beauty of what God has done for us. God, through Jesus Christ, has provided the relationship to be able to experience peace, true peace, an amazing joy and hope and such great love. We can have home even if we don't have a home. For all of our friends that are out on the street tonight, they can have home too. Maybe we can share that home with them. For all those who have lost their homes in the tornadoes and all those different places, they too can have a home. For all of us that really struggle, even if we have a mansion, we still are searching for true home. But Jesus gives us that true home. And that's the greatest gift. Prophet told us, right? People walking in darkness have seen a great light. For the shepherds, a child was born and a son was given. For Mary and Joseph, a child was born and a son is given. For everybody here and beyond, a child is born and a child is given. And that is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who reaches out when we come home and grabs us and holds us tight. And says, welcome home. Or, in keeping with the season, Merry Christmas and Amen. Boy, I love our musicians here. Thank you all so much. Friends, we come to our offering time, and this time our Christmas offering is going toward missions within the United Methodist Church through what we call apportionments. Your giving tonight will help us to start new churches, to help other churches come back from COVID, which we are still struggling with, and to help with missions around the world. And so if you're here, we have offering baskets in the middle. If you are online with us, you can give through our website or through our Tithely app, or you can send a check to P.O. Box 567 here in Harrisonville, 64701. Friends, we have a generous God who loves us so much to welcome us home. Be in prayer and how God is moving you this evening and how you might give.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and
precious God, we thank you for this opportunity to give out of the bounty that you share with us. Lord God, may the people that benefit from our offerings tonight, Lord, may they be a witness to your light, to your love. Lord God, may they be welcomed home in transforming grace. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of your light and your love. It's in your precious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And let's remain standing and sing together the great hymn, Joy to the World, number 246.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and
I talked to a few of you as you were walking in today, and some of you have said, we've had dinner. Well, we're going to eat again. It is time for Holy Communion. This is a great joy on this evening for us to join together. For those of you that are at home, make sure you've got bread and some juice gathered with you as well. As part of our invitation, we have some words that we'll share together as part of our liturgy together, and these words will be on your screen. So let's begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us profess together who God has called us to be.
We are a community of people who follow the light that has come into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, and learning to walk in his light.
Let us remember the words that the Lord Jesus said on the night when he was betrayed.
He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said,
"This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said,
"This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. In remembrance of me."
For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine.
That the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ.
And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Tonight, we pulled a switcheroo. On Wednesday night, we had a traveler service for all those that were going out of town. And Jeanette Bartles gave me a great idea. Actually, she gave it in the form of a challenge. I'm pushing back on you, Rev Kev. You should have communion out of the manger. And what better place to take the body and blood of Jesus than where Jesus began? For we are a body. Broken and made whole by our Lord. And behold the cup of salvation for the forgiveness of sins for many. Nowadays, in the midst of COVID, we do communion a little bit differently than some of you might have done in the past. What we do is we have individual little elements that we're going to give you. And they are of two different kinds. I don't know which one you're going to get. It's like, you know, Forrest Gump, right? It's like the chocolates. But one kind that you can get here, the chalice, is you can tear off the top. There's going to be a wafer in there. You turn it over, and you can open up, and there's juice that you can take when we, if that's passed to you. If, on the other hand, well, hey, yay, these are all the same kind. We had some rough ones before, let me tell you. COVID's taken a long time, hasn't it? I want to invite our servers to come forward at this time, and I want to issue an invitation to all of you. This is not my table. This isn't even the church's table. This is Jesus Christ's table, and everyone is invited to this table. This is where you can experience love. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist faith tribe, said that, you know, this is a converting thing that we do here, that our hearts can be changed in just taking part. So you're all invited to come and be a part. Now, when I say come, that means that these people will come to you and they'll bring you communion elements. For those of you that are at home right now, feel free to take the body and blood of Jesus. And now, let us have supper together, friends. Please pray with me. Thank you, most generous and holy God, for the gift of this meal we have shared as family. Lord, keep us together as family. Keep us as home. And strengthen and lead us to share your light with one another and with all the world. In Jesus' loving name, amen.
Starlight shines, the night is still, and shepherds watching from a hill. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born. A perfect child, a gently waits, a mother God's face. I close my eyes to see the night when love is born. Angels build the midnight sky and they sing.
Friends, it's time for us to do a little live action, and I'm going to have you stand right now, because you're going to have to in a moment to sing anyway, and we're going to be lighting candles here, so here's how this is going to work. Kip and I are going to show you how to light these first of all, but what we're going to do is we're going to go down one side of a row, and then what you all can do is share the light with each other as you go down that row. Make sense? Okay, so we will model that. So what we're going to do, and by the way, make sure you keep this away from your hair and things like that. It is not pretty. Things happen. Ah, there we go. So Kit, let's show them. That's right. So that's how you should light your candle. Don't ever bend a lit candle to anyone. So as we do, Kip is going to start to lead us in Silent Night.
Yeah, let's sing together one more time.
Holy night, holy night.
Light came into the world, and the darkness could not overcome it. This light is now at home in our hearts. We take this light into the world, and we welcome people home so that they know love, peace, joy, and hope, so that they know home. Friends, God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And one more invitation. We have Carolyn Randall, our organist, her very last performance with us, as she is retired. And so she has a wonderful postlude. So I want to invite you to just stick around a little longer to listen to this beautiful music.